Raise your hand if you don't know the story of behind Govardhan Puja, the Leela, if you've never heard it. Or raise your hand the other way, if you've already heard the Govardhan Leela. Forcing everyone into a commitment, one way or the other. There's no standing on the border here. So it begins in one sense when the brahmanas were performing a sacrifice in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and Krishna and Balaram and the herding cows in one village near the border of Vrindavan, and Vrindavan itself in Mathura, they were performing a sacrifice. And the cowherd boys thought that Krishna and Balaram might be feeling some hunger because the morning had already passed. So they said, so they asked Krishna what to do about it. They said, "We're very hungry." Instead of saying, "Oh, you must be very hungry," because if someone tells you, you must be very hungry, you say, no, I'm not very hungry. So the boy said, "We are very hungry. What should we do?" So Krishna Balaram said that there were some Brahmins performing some sacrifice nearby. What's the name of the place they were doing it? Did you go and visit?
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's not true, but it's that area.
I don't know, I haven't been there. But in any case, the Brahmins were performing a sacrifice, a karmakandik type of sacrifice, which means that it's for, not exactly for the pleasure of Krishna, but pleasing Krishna or Vishnu in such a way that he'll award some fruitive benefit. So Krishna and Balaram said, "Go and beg from them for some food. They're performing a sacrifice. They have lots of food around, and see if they give you something." So the Brahmins wouldn't even speak to them. So they went back. The boys went back to Krishna and Balaram, and they said, "They wouldn't even talk to us." He said, "Now go and ask the wives of those Brahmins, because they are devotees, and see how they react." So immediately the cowherd boys went to the wives of the Brahmins, and immediately the wives of the Brahmins, upon hearing that Krishna and Balaram were nearby, whom they had heard about and already had developed loving affection for, they immediately gathered all the food that they could find and went to Krishna and Balaram, and went to Krishna. And Krishna entered their hearts through their eyes, by their looking at Krishna. Krishna used that glance to enter their hearts. And then there's a wonderful pastime that we won't speak about, the nice words back and forth. But in any case, Nanda Maharaj was performing a similar sacrifice to please Indra. And the reasoning is that the dependent, the cowherd men, it's an agricultural area, And you're dependent in one sense on the cows, and you're dependent in one sense on your seeds and your crops. But ultimately, in another sense, everything that is done in an agricultural area is dependent upon what?
Rain.
Water. And water is dependent upon rain. So therefore, the rains come or don't come, that's dependent on Indra, the controller of the demigods, the provider of rain. So they were performing making the preparations to perform a sacrifice to appease Indra so that rains would come, so that the crops could grow and the cows could feed in a sumptuous way and their prosperity would increase. They were grateful, because nowadays people exploit with no gratitude for the earth, and it is a horrible thing. So in any case, Krishna wanted to teach Indra a lesson, because Indra when someone has power, they tend to get proud. So he wanted to remove the pride of Indra, even though Indra was his devotee. So he told his father Nanda Maharaj, "Don't prepare a sacrifice for Indra, what do we have to do with Indra? After all, if the rain, the oceans don't perform any sacrifice for Indra, and does the rain withhold itself from the oceans? No. The rain comes in so many places. So there's no need to satisfy Indra. Stop this sacrifice. And instead, we are actually dependent, not on Indra, but we are dependent upon Govardhan Hill. Because Govardhan Hill is our life in so many ways, provides so much grass for the cows, for so many things. So we should please Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj said, okay, Krishna, we'll please Govardhan Hill. Because everyone, of course, in Vrindavan simply desires to see Krishna happy. Yes, Krishna, we'll perform a sacrifice for Govardhan Hill later. But now, let's do something for the pleasure of Indra. And Krishna said, no. We should take that which we have prepared for Indra and offer it to Govardhan. Because Govardhan literally means, go means cow and Vardhan means the provider of nourishment. So he is the provider of nourishment for the cows, the Brahmins, the land, everything. So, he said, Krishna said, no, we should take everything and offer it to Govardhan. So Nanda Maharaj said, yes. Okay, Krishna, if this is what you want, this is what we'll do. So then, and we'll start reading here. Nanda Maharaj, this is from Krishna book, relented. The cowherd men then inquired from Krishna how he wanted Govardhan pleased. What should we do? How should the sacrifice be performed? And Krishna gave them the following directions. Collect or prepare very nice foodstuffs of all descriptions from the grains and ghee collected for the Indra Jagya. Prepare rice, dal, then halava, pakora, puris, and all kinds of milk preparations like sweet rice, sweet bowl, sandesh, raskula, ladu. And then invite the learned brahmanas who can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The brahmins should be given all kinds of grains in charity. So prepare food. The brahmins should do their service of chanting, and they should be given charity. Then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money and charity to the brahmins. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs and the lower grades of people, such as the chandals or the fifth class of men who are considered untouchable, they also may be given sumptuous prasadam. And after giving nice grass to the cows, because cow worship is worshiping the cows, this is considered very important, an item of devotional service, one of the 64 items of devotional service. So how does one worship a cow? RT and everything to the cow. Actually, even though that's sometimes done a bit, but one of the commentators, I think it's probably Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Jiva Goswami, explains how cows should be worshipped. Very, very, very simply. You give them some nice, fresh, green grass. You pat them, because when they have a permanent fur coat, and fur coats, and they don't have hands to itch, scratch, itches that are there, and little parasites are in there, so scratch them like that, maybe behind the ears a little bit, especially, and circumambulate them, and that way respect them. So that's how cows should be worshipped. Not quite the same way that deities should be worshipped. So, after giving nice grass to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately be begun. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. Prabhupada explains, I'm going to skip around a little bit. The sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so his land, Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, are also worshipable. To confirm this statement, Lord Krishna said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worshipping Him. From that day, the Govardhan Puja, Puja means worship, has still been going on. And it is known as Anukuta. And there's a whole stretch of land at Govardhan Hill from Dandavartana Kund, which is, I don't know how far, maybe a kilometer or so, till the village of Anayor, which is around Govardhan Puja, that was filled with all the foodstuffs that Krishna, that the cowherd men brought. Hills. Anukuta means, Anna means grains, like hills of different foodstuffs. And all the temples of Vrindavan, or outside of Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in this ceremony and are very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sumptuous food is generously distributed. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowds and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. Just wherever it comes, they pick it up. From these instances, we can understand that prasadam offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated, even if it is thrown on the ground. The people therefore collect it and eat it with great satisfaction. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna therefore advised the cowherd men to stop the Indra Chakya and begin the Govardhan Puja in order to chastise Indra, who is very much puffed up at being the supreme controller of the heavenly planets. What does puffed up mean? Proud. Now, what is the typical example we give of something that is puffed up or proud? Huh? A peacock. Proud is a peacock, but that's not usually the one we give. Huh? A chapati. When you're cooking, you roll a chapati, and after all, it's very, very thin, right? And then when you're cooking it, raise your hand if you've never seen, and I'll do it the positive way, if you've seen a chapati being cooked. Have you ever seen the chapati being cooked? Well, you have a lot to look forward to. I'll give you a hint of what the future has in store for you. First, it's cooked on a pan, and then it's put over the fire, and then if it's cooked well, it's done well, if the dough is proper. Of course, people from South India have never seen chapatis being cooked. Is that right? Because only rice being cooked in South India. North India is more chapati land because of the wheat. And if you put it on the flame, and then miraculously what happens? This thin chapati goes like this. So it's very, very big and round, but what is it full of? Hot air, specifically, puffed up like a chapati, full of hot air mostly. It's really, and then the air goes out, and it's flat, and there's nothing there. So Krishna wanted to quell some of the pride of Indradev. The honest and simple cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan worship and circumambulation of the hill. Prabhupada says, following the inauguration of Govardhan Puja, people in Vrindavan still dress nicely and assemble near Govardhan Hill to offer worship and circumambulate the hill, leading their cows all around. Once I walked around Govardhan Hill on this day. According to the instructions of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men called in learned Brahmins and began to worship Govardhan Hill by chanting Vedic hymns and offering prasad. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled together. They decorated their cows. How do they decorate the cows? What's the typical decorations? Yeah, they paint their horns and hooves and they put different colored ribbons and things on them, colorful, and red handprints all over the cows. If you don't watch out, we're going to do the same for you. The mark of the cow. And they decorated the cows and gave them grass. Keeping the cows in front, they began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. The gopis also dressed themselves very luxuriantly and sat in bull-driven carts, chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes. assembled there to act as priests for Govardhan Puja, the Brahmins offered their blessings to the cowherd men and their wives, the gopis. When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he himself was Govardhan Hill. But he kept on his same form, but then Govardhan assumed another form. Krishna actually assumed another form and says that he was Govardhan. And because the cowherd men and ladies had brought so much food and offered it to Govardhan, this great, huge form of Govardhan began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees, and even not great devotees, take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. Devotees therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. The form of Krishna, who began to eat the offerings, was separately constituted from Krishna. And Krishna himself, along with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, began to offer obeisances to the deity, the huge deity of Govardhan Hill. In offering obeisances to the huge form of Krishna himself on Govardhan Hill, Krishna declared, "Just see how Govardhan Hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all the offerings." Krishna also declared at the meeting, "One who neglects the worship of Govardhan Hill." Is anyone planning to neglect the worship of Govardhan Hill here? Wow. "As I am personally conducting it," Krishna said, "will not be happy." Let that be a lesson to you all. There are many snakes on Govardhan Hill, and persons neglecting the prescribed duty of Govardhan Puja will be bitten by these snakes and killed. In order to assure the good fortune of the cows and themselves, all people of Vrindavan near Govardhan must worship the hill as prescribed by me. Thus performing the Govardhan Puja sacrifice, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan followed the instructions of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and afterwards they returned to their respective homes. So Krishna said that if we don't worship Govardhan Hill, we will not become happy. So therefore, everyone worshiped Govardhan Hill, and what do you think they became? Keshav? What do you think they became? They became happy! So happy! And Govardhan Hill is such a... and Govardhan Puja is a very happy celebration. But there was one person who was not happy, and that was Indra. Yeah. When Indra understood that the sacrifice offered by the cowherd men in Vrindavan was stopped by Krishna, he became angry, and he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were headed by Nanda Maharaj, although Indra knew perfectly well that Krishna was personally protecting them. As director of different kinds of clouds, Indra called for the Sambhavataka, that this cloud is invited when there is a need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. The Sambhavataka was ordered by Indra to go over Vrindavan and inundate the whole area with extensive flood. Demonically, Indra thought himself the all-powerful Supreme Personality, and when demons become very powerful, they defy the Supreme Controller, Krishna. Indra, though not a demon, was puffed up by his material position. Now why? What does puffed up have to do with that, his material position? Why is puffed up due to his position? Why? What? Huh?
Very tough.
He was very powerful. But why is... What was he... He was full of... When someone is powerful in this world or can do anything in this world, it's because Krishna allows him to be. So the puffedness, the hot air, is thinking that I'm the one doing it. Because as soon as Krishna takes away our ability, deflates us, takes away the hot air, we can't do anything. Nothing. Not even walk or breathe if he wants. So we're so dependent, so we have nothing to be proud of. But Indra is a tendency of all souls conditioned in this world, became a little proud of his great power. So he began to think, first of all, he thought, I'm so powerful, I'm as powerful as Krishna, more powerful. Just see the impudence of these people of Vrindavan. They're simply inhabited. They have dared to defy the demigods. Indra cursed the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, by defying the authority of the demigods, the inhabitants of Vrindavan will suffer. I will put my sleep weapon on them and they won't be able to keep their eyes open. I see the power of these weapons. Having neglected the sacrifice to the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material misery. These cowherd men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority. On the advice of this talkative boy who is known as Krishna, he is nothing but a child, and by believing this child, they have enraged me. Thus he ordered the Samvatsara cloud to go and destroy the prosperity of Vrindavan. The men of Vrindavan, said Indra, have become too puffed up over their material opulence and their confidence in the presence of their tiny friend Krishna. He is simply talkative, childish, and unaware of the complete cosmic manifestation. Because they have taken Krishna so seriously, they must be punished. And so I have ordered the Samvatsara cloud to go there and inundate that place. They should be destroyed with their cows. So King Indra ordered the Samvatsara and companion clouds to go to Vrindavan. The clouds were afraid of the assignment, but King Indra assured them, you go ahead, and I will also go riding on my elephant, accompanied by great storms. And I shall apply all my strength to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So ordered by King Indra, all the dangerous clouds appeared above Vrindavan and began to pour water incessantly with all their strength and power. There was constant lightning and thunder, blowing of severe wind, and incessant falling of rain. The rainfall seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows. By pouring water as thick as pillars without cessation, the clouds gradually filled all the land in Vrindavan with water, and there was no visible distinction between higher and lower land. The situation was very dangerous, especially for the animals. The rainfall was accompanied by great wind, and every living entity in Vrindavan, every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from the severe cold. Unable to find any other source of deliverance, they all approached Govinda, Krishna, to take shelter of it at his lotus feet. The cows especially, being very much aggrieved under the heavy rain, they bowed their heads, and taking their calves underneath their bodies, they approached the Supreme Person. Why did they put the calves underneath their bodies? To protect them, give them some warmth and protect them, very motherly. Cows are so motherly. They bowed their heads, taking their calves underneath their bodies, and approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of his lotus feet. Do you know how to moo?
Moo.
You need some practice, please. You'll need a part-time job. A that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray to Lord Krishna. Dear Krishna, you are all powerful, and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Now please protect us who have been very much harassed by angry Indra. Upon hearing their prayer, Krishna could also understand that Indra, being bereft of his sacrificial honor, was pouring down rain that was accompanied by heavy pieces of ice and strong wind. All this was out of season. Krishna understood that this was a deliberate exhibition of anger by Indra. He therefore concluded, this demigod, who thinks himself supreme, has shown his great power. But I shall answer him according to my position. I shall teach him that he is not autonomous and independent in managing universal affairs. I, Krishna said, am the supreme over all. When Indra says, I am the supreme, he's proud and puffed up. When Krishna says, I am the supreme, then he's just being honest. I am the supreme lord over all. And I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has risen from his power. Krishna has no false prestige. He has real prestige. And not only that, he allows himself to be controlled and conquered by his devotees. And that's actually what this pastime is showing. How much will Krishna be controlled and protect, and will protect his devotees, controlled by his devotees, and he will give them protection. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or other he has become puffed up with material power, and thus is now maddened. I shall act in such a way to relieve him of his false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan, who are completely dependent, who are at the present completely at my mercy, and whom I have taken completely under my protection. I will save them by my mystic power. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna immediately picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand. Which hand? No, he picked up with his left hand, but you were close. Exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Thus he exhibited his transcendental pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. And he lifted it with, he's holding it with his finger. Lord Krishna then began to address his devotees. My dear brothers, my dear father, dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, which I have just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think it will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore I have lifted this hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think this is a proper arrangement to relieve you from the immediate distress. Be happy. Again, be happy. Be happy. Be happy, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Govardhan Puja. Aj. Be happy. Along with your animals underneath this great umbrella, being assured by Lord Krishna. And if we become assured of Krishna's protection, then we too will become happy. Being assured by Lord Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan entered beneath the great hill and appeared to be safe along with their property and animals. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for how long?
7 days.
If you fasting for 7 days makes 1 week. So, but not in the case of the residents of Vrindavan. They were not at all disturbed during that time, 7 days, by hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with his little finger of his left hand. Seeing the extraordinary mystic power of Krishna, Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination. He immediately called for the clouds and asked them to desist. When the sky became completely cleared of all clouds after 7 days, and there was sunrise again, the strong wind stopped. At that time, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known now as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, is Giridhari. Dhari means the holder, and Giri means of the mountain. And Giriraj is the king of mountains. He said, Krishna said, "My dear cowherd man, now you can leave and take your wives, children, cows, and valuables, because everything is ended. The inundation has now gone down along with the swelling waters of the river." All the men loaded their valuables on carts and slowly left with their cows and other paraphernalia. After they had cleared out everything, Lord Krishna very slowly replaced Govardhan Hill exactly in the same position as it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna and embraced him with great ecstasy. The gopis, being naturally very affectionate to Krishna, began to offer curd mixed with their tears, and they poured incessant blessings upon him. Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, Nandan, Balaram, who is the strongest of the strong, embraced Krishna one after another, and out of spontaneous feelings of affection, they blessed him over and over again. In the heavens, different demigods in different planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, and Charnaloka, they also began to show their complete satisfaction. They poured showers of flowers on the surface of the earth and sounded different conch shells. There was the beating of drums. And being inspired by godly feelings, the residents of Gandharvaloka began to play on their tamburas to please the Lord. After this incident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrounded by his dear friends and animals, returned to his home. As usual, the gopis began to chant the glorious pastimes of Krishna with great feeling, for they were chanting from their hearts. So later Indra comes and apologizes, and he offers prayers, and Krishna is bathed of apology, and he brought with him a Sarabi cow from the heavenly planet, and he bathed Krishna from the water from the trunk of his elephant, Aravat, which is, and that water was Ganges water. And they performed an Abhishek for Krishna, and at that time Krishna was given the name of Govinda. And the place where they bathed Krishna is called Govindakund. And the first time I ever walked all around Govardhan, circumambulate Govardhan, I happened to do it by Krishna's arrangement on the day celebrating, so that on the eighth day after Govardhan Puja, on the day celebrating Indra's approaching Krishna. And when we got to Govardhan Puja, Govindakund, it's a lake right next to, snuggled up right next to Govardhan Hill, which was originally had the Abhishek water. The bathing ceremony was performed for Krishna by Indradev and everyone. And they had a big feast there that day, so we partook of a wonderful big feast. Surprised we walked into that. How nice. So happy. Real Krishna consciousness is so happy. And what stops us? The mind. The great dark clouds of our minds. Indra finally said, "Yeah, Govinda." Okay, any questions or comments?